Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Daniel Dabosky Bryant, who is a lifelong educator and is from a family of educators, and he speaks five languages, which is awesome. And he's a trainer, speaker, and consultant of VR and education with clients including schools, colleges, universities, design teams, training companies, councils, and private individuals. And so I wanted to first start off, Daniel, by saying thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so we're going to jump right into the first question because you're doing a lot in the education industry and using VR as a catalyst for it. And I strongly believe that education needs a lot of disruption. We teach, you know, a 20th century curriculum in a 19th century environment. So I want to jump right in. The first question I have for you is really just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Okay, good question. Who am I? Like you said, I'm an educator, being from a family of educators. And I kind of reluctantly, I fell into it more than choosing it, but I found my passion there. In my time, about 22 years, I've seen quite a lot of educational technology come and go or make its way into the classroom. I didn't really embrace all of it with open arms because I didn't really see the impact of some of the technology on my classroom. So we have a drawer full of iPads that get pulled out every now and again. I have to add that I teach adults. I teach them English as a foreign language in Wales. So I teach migrant workers, refugees, and international students. And in that setting, the iPads, I haven't found a natural use for them. Maybe that says more about me than the iPads. But not too long ago, my son called me a digital dinosaur. And I was having none of that. So I went out to buy a cheap VR headset to show him that I had some game. And he tried it and he liked it and everything. So I thought I'd have a go myself. He's 10 years old. And I went on a virtual tour of the International Space Station, and it just blew me away for two reasons. One, that my mind was pretty much convinced I'd just been on the International Space Station. But even more than that, the fact that my phone had done that. I couldn't believe that technology had come on so far without me knowing that the phone in my pocket was able to do that. So I said, right, that's me. I want to research this. I want to know everything about it. And I spent the last good 18 months learning everything I can about VR, AR, 360 media, cameras, and how I can explore and use that in educators and VR, in education. And that kind of leads on to the next story. Does that answer your question so far? Shall I keep going or?
No, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I think it's incredible. And I like that you took the statement from your son of, you know, digital dinosaur and really said, no way. You've really immersed yourself. And it's insane just what VR capabilities are, right? You can be somewhere virtually, but feel there. And that was a big learning curve for me when I put on my first VR headset. It's hard to understand the reality of that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And it still has that effect on me. I've done a fair bit of VR in my time now, tried different headsets, different experiences, but there's still often a moment or an experience that really gets me viscerally. For example, yesterday, Google Earth VR, I was flying around the mountains of my home where I grew up here, where I live. And today I was driving home and I saw those mountains. And in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, I was up there yesterday. Oh no, it wasn't.
that would be weird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, I was very lucky in my job. So my day job is just teaching at college. And I brought my headset into college to show my students, and my manager found out and she encouraged me. She said, you know, why don't you do some teacher training? So I did that. And then she turned around and said that the college has like an innovation fund. And if we put together a bid, we could maybe get some money to buy some equipment and really go and explore. So we did that. that, and we got the money very successfully. It was great. So we went and bought some equipment. We bought some headsets, a laptop, a camera, what else? Yeah, so 360 3D camera. And then we're setting about exploring how we can use this as a department, so a language department. But in the course of researching how this can be used in education, I realized that as a college, we have games development department, we have a music department, a sports department, all these departments. And there's not a single department that I can't think of a really good use or several good projects for this technology. We had some teachers come around from the tourism department. I showed them three apps. Then we had some colleagues come over from the hair and beauty department. It was like, okay, anatomy and difficult customers training. So, you know, anybody comes to me now and I say, okay, I've got some experiences for you. I'm at the point now where I think the college would get more mileage out of me if they reassigned me as the a VR specialist and took me off teaching English. So that's kind of my day job, but I'm very lucky to be able to do that on the one track. And on the other track, I early on discovered Altspace VR, and I trialed a English language event. So I invited people to join me for a conversation class in English. I had no idea how it would go. It was my very first event, and it was probably my third time on Altspace. So I set up this event, and I had some people come from Scandinavia, from Korea, from all over the world. And we were chatting in English, and I was like, this is going to be big. People are going to learn languages. And now other people have taken it on and doing it much more than I did. And then in about November, I took part in a virtual conference called the Dextra Virtual Conference. And this was a 3-day event with speakers from around the world, but it was fully on Altspace in VR. And I took part from my home, you know, sitting in my shorts in my living room. And I was listening to leaders in the field in all kinds of specializations. And it just dawned on me that I'd taken part in a conference without having to fly and all the carbon dioxide, without having to waste my time, the money in flying. But I had heard from leaders in the field convincingly. And I thought, you know what? I've seen nothing distinctly for educators out there. So I put out a shout out on Facebook saying, would anybody be interested in educators in VR and Altspace? And the response was really encouraging. So pretty much since that day, every month we've been doing events. We're looking at doing 2 or 3 events now, doing different workshops where we invite experts or people who are doing innovative stuff, teaching in VR and sharing that with our community. And our community, we live on the Discord server where we have 200-300 members growing every day. Everybody's pooling resources and there's just loads of discussions and ideas flying around. Yeah, join us on the Discord server for sure, educators in VR. So that's kind of, that was the next biggest thing we've done, which is really exciting at the moment. That's growing really well. The community is coming around and yeah, all kinds of great people in that space.
So a follow-up question to that then, how are you then making a positive impact in that community?
That's also a great question. We've been doing it all as volunteers for now. I think what we've done is, or my intention was to kind of walk the talk a little bit. If we're talking about teaching in VR, then we as educators should be using the medium. And by using Altspace VR, I wanted to give a platform for all of these diverse educators around the world who are kind of sprouting up. Rather than everybody reinventing the wheel for themselves, why don't we pool resources? And what started as an idea of growing a community, exactly that happened. We now have people from all backgrounds, researchers, educators, professional trainers, corporate trainers, even startups with their educational content, joining and creating a whole community of people sharing and exploring the space together, because the technology is still so new. We're all still kind of figuring out how we're going to do it well. We can do it. We have the technology. We have some content. But how are we going to deliver this well for students? So the social impact really is accelerating the positive and good delivery of this technology and education by creating a community.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the biggest things that I've noticed just about how passionate you are about this topic is you're also empowering people, right, through that centralized resource and building community to sometimes an undervalued resource when you really build like-minded people into a global community.
That's right. That's right. The idea was very much to get people together into a space and then let them make connections beyond what I can figure out. So if once you have, you know, when you have five people in a group, you kind of know everybody. But at a certain point, the community grows. Now we've got 200-300 members. They're coming up with ideas and connections and projects that are out of my hands. So the community has developed its own momentum, which for me is an achievement. That, you know, we've created a platform, seen an opportunity, created a platform, and the people are getting on with it. And they're doing stuff I'd never dream of now, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, and again, kudos to you for doing that. That's just it's awesome, and it really is showing that you can build social impact, or you can build impact in the world through many, many different ways, and education, you know, and VR are just one of those catalysts.
That's right. The next thing really that happened with educators in VR quite early on, I met a woman called Laurel van Fossen. She's really active on AltSpace. She's been using it to teach for many years. She's a formidable person in this field. And she and I teamed up. We realized that we kind of struck a nerve, we tapped into something quite deep, because people were coming, like I said, from everywhere. And we've been working on not so much formalizing what we're doing, but trying to, how can I say, capitalize on, and by that I don't mean financially necessarily, first of all, I mean taking the essence of what the community is and making it kind of trying to find the crystallizing it into something. So we've got people, we've got resources, we've got skills, and now we're trying to develop a program where we are looking to create a training program, a certified training program. So develop a curriculum, a training program, so people can come to us, take this training program, and be confident that they have the skills and the contacts and the resources that they need to deliver teaching experiences in and with VR. Because really, this community represents pioneering experts in this field. And if the mission is to help accelerate this in education, then we're developing these resources for everybody. Because the end game is to get this to have an impact for learners, but the learners will only ever get as much impact as the teachers have been trained to use it. So until you train up the teachers to feel confident and embrace this technology and use it well, then the learners will not be exposed to what the technology is able to deliver, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. That makes absolute sense. And I want to ask the next question, just because it fits perfectly with what you're trying to do with this entire ecosystem. Okay. And the question I have for you is, do you then believe this idea of positive impact? Do you believe it's important in business?
In business? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a moral imperative. I think we've gone long enough with businesses exploiting resources for the sole purpose of benefit, or you know, personal individual benefit, and shareholders as well. I think, yeah, every stakeholder has a responsibility to ensure that business is sustainable. And for me, really, almost to the point where the purpose of business should be value before profit, and in particular social value before profit. You know, get rich second. If you're not delivering social value, sustainable value, I'm not really interested. Having said that, it's a bit hypocritical. I mean, I benefit from all kinds of businesses that don't necessarily operate on that model, but what I'm trying to say is that some of the businesses have become so big that they are more powerful than individual nations. And when we have nations in a democracy, you can vote for them. But when you have big businesses having such an impact on humanity that you can't vote for, that's a problem. They need more, corporate responsibility and accountability for what they do. So, you know, deliver a great product, but do more than that. Deliver social value and make sure that your product is fully sustainable. That's I'd like to see that from myself, for my generation, but even more for my son's generation and for the rest. Otherwise, it looks pretty grim at the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, the comment you made about, you know, these large businesses being treated as countries. I remember reading an article, I want to say about a year ago, and it was Denmark. And Denmark is now has specific advisors, country advisors, for Facebook, for Microsoft, for Google. Okay. They're actually treating them as nations because the political pull or the political opportunity they have is sometimes greater than countries. And we're at this new peak or this new transition of modern business because we've never been here before, right? This is entirely new. Besides a dictatorship or kingdom, there's never been something, a business quite this large, like, you know, an example of Facebook is. I do agree with you, though. There needs to be more accountability on all business. There needs to be more transparency. And there really does need to be a little bit more rules and guidelines on how that happens.
You're right. You're right. I think, yeah, the problem is you can't vote for them, you know. when technology impacts people so much and you, other than saying, well, I'm not going to use Facebook, but there's not going to be 2 billion people saying, I'm not going to use Facebook. How do you influence it? But back to your question in terms of, do I believe social impact is important for business? Absolutely, I do. I think what we're trying to do with Educators in VR, we're starting from the ground up. The community is really the grassroots people. Even though they're experts and pioneers, these are people in the field, on the ground, using this day for day in the classrooms with these students. And if we can get in at that level and build something around that kind of level, then maybe we can avoid a big company swooping in and taking over education and VR and saying, well, we've got the one solution for everybody now. We want to make it, we want it to be owned by the community for the learners. That's the attempt. I mean, it's maybe a bit ambitious, but that's the vision anyway.
No, I love it. I love it. And here's another question for you. And it's actually the closing question. And it can really help with your community, but it also can help with anyone listening this. And the question I have is, what's your advice then for others to begin building their own impact in the world?
Good question.
A loaded question, sorry.
My advice. My wife is really inspiring. She runs a business, a very ethical business. She makes toys, Dr. Zick's Extraordinary Bubbles. She manufactures and sells giant bubbles. And her background is activism and sustainable business. She's really inspiring because she, from a very young age, had this belief that an individual can make a difference. When you start with that belief, it changes your outlook. Until you believe that you as an individual can affect change, can have an impact, can talk to the leaders, then you might not make a move. So my advice would be to, I don't know how you would do that, but develop the belief that you as an individual not only can, but almost have the responsibility. It really starts grassroots. Find an organization that means something to you, either get involved or if you're going to start your own thing, it's going to be led by your heart. Find something you're passionate about, whether it's kids or the environment or gender issues or race issues or politics. That's the thing nowadays. There are so many causes that need attention, that need support, that need passionate people. You're spoiled for choice. Just find something that means something to you and start small, and then follow where it leads. That would be my advice.
It's good advice. It's sound advice. And obviously, you know, pulling from the journey that you've been on. And it's true. Sometimes starting local and starting small can build to something, right? That's that momentum. It's one step at a time.
It is. I think, let it be an adventure. Find something you're passionate about and see where it takes you. That would be my advice. Can I add one other thing that I didn't mention before as part of the work for Educators in VR, and it refers to social impact? Can I mention something else?
Sorry, say that again.
Yeah, I was going to add something that I didn't mention before, a project we're working on for Educators in VR that is aimed at having a social impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Please feel free to talk about. Yeah, this is your chance to show how you are a social impactor in the world.
Okay, so Educators in VR is really, we're concentrating on the educators, enabling and training educators to use this technology in the classrooms. And then a good friend of mine, Chris Long, I was working with him on a project called the Borderless Classroom, and it's his vision. And unfortunately, he tragically passed away about a month ago, just when we decided to actually make this project happen. So I have a deep personal commitment to this project. And the Borderless Classroom is the idea that if you have a classroom with equipment and a teacher able to use the equipment, it becomes borderless because you can go anywhere, create the impossible, do anything, meet anyone. So it becomes a borderless classroom. That's kind of, we're trying to build borderless classrooms around the world, really, starting in the UK and then the US and then Europe, and reaching out to underrepresented and underdeveloped communities around the world. Once you have a number of borderless classrooms, we have this project of the Borderless Classroom Network. And here the idea is you might have a classroom in the UK, anywhere, who is doing a project on, let's say, South Africa. And then if you have a borderless classroom in South Africa, the UK classroom can connect with that community and say, hey, can we meet in VR? Can we exchange a project? Can we work together? So you're building bridges between communities, between nations, and the vision is to break down barriers, to break down walls, and be able to reach out immersively through this network of borderless classrooms. That's something we're really passionate about at the moment. We're working on quite strongly in the background. And we've been very lucky early on by making acquaintance with the Virtual World Society and a man called Tom Furness. We're looking at how we can collaborate with the Virtual World Society and make this happen. But keep an eye out for the Borderless Classroom. It should be a really interesting project.
Awesome. So where can people find that information best, and where can people connect with you?
Okay. Our website is www.educatorsinvr.com. That's a good place. Twitter @educatorsvr. Then we're also on Discord. Discord server is Educators in VR. There should be a link on the website, or send us an email, daniel@educatorsinvr.com. I can send you an invite to the Discord. And definitely keep a lookout on AltSpace VR. Once a month and soon twice a month, we hold events in VR. It's a great place to get an idea of what we're talking about and join the community. And we have networking at the end of each event, so you can just strike up a conversation with someone. That's the best way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. So Daniel, I wanted to end this podcast with really just saying, again, thank you so much for the insight, and really looking forward to what you're going to do with Educators in VR.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to tell people about what we're doing, and all the best. Thank you.